Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com. This podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to hold meetings over the internet, reduce travel expenses, save time. Just hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try it free. Visit GoToMeeting.com/stuff.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. Chuck's right there.
I'm to your right. We're sort of in front of you.
Yeah, I'm Josh, correct?
You are, still.
And Chuck's married to Emily.
Yeah, Josh is married to Ashley.
Oh, this is like so sweet.
I know, this feels like a game.
I've got a saccharine taste in my mouth.
Right.
So Chuck and I are obviously BFF forever, and we do everything together, and we do, you know, our wives are all hang out and they're best friends, and it's just one great love in, right, Chuck?
Yeah, it's a big happy family.
Yeah, so Chuck, do you like being married? We never get any time to speak privately, so I'll just ask you now.
Right. We're shuttled, actually, directly to the sound studio from our home, from our pods.
Pretty much. Our wives are groupies, and they hang around the office a lot. So
I love being married. I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Actually, it's been around a lot longer than sliced bread. I love being married, too, by the way, just in case my wife is listening. Marriage is really old, Chuck. Did you know that? It's not a new phenomenon.
No.
Okay, how did you get married? And what was your ceremony like?
My ceremony was very laid back. You know, I got married in my mid-30s, so it seemed kind of silly to have some huge, extravagant wedding. Mm-hmm. Our wedding was at a house in my brother's neighborhood, and ceremony was maybe 5 minutes long. And
yeah.
It was like a big party.
Yeah.
We didn't do many of the customs and rituals. We just kind of eschewed that in favor of just getting together and having a good time.
We did we had a very similar wedding as well. We got married at a gazebo at this old house that's actually used for weddings and events. And I called the woman who owns the house, and she never called me back, so we just went and used the gazebo anyway.
Nice.
And it turned out that she pulled into the driveway right before us on our wedding day and had no idea that we were showing up, so I had to basically talk fast and, you know.
Sure, that's risky.
It was very risky.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, I ended up giving her a credit card, so it worked out in the end. But
that gazebo is now in your backyard.
Pretty much, yeah. So we both had these informal ceremonies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're still wearing a ring, as am I.
Yeah.
So there's these really ancient traditions that still kind of show up in modern weddings.
All over the place.
No matter how laid back or formal they are fraught with these pagan rituals and beliefs and symbols. It's pretty cool. Like Easter. Did you know that Easter is actually an old pagan holiday?
Really?
Yeah, it's the celebration of Esoterre, who was the, I think maybe the Celtic goddess of spring.
Interesting.
So it's like a spring celebration.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's where it has its roots. But it's much the same with wedding traditions as well.
Yeah, I think pretty much every wedding tradition out there is, there's no new ones. They all date way, way back.
They definitely do.
And I think we should maybe talk about
a few of
them.
I think we should. So we mentioned the ring, right? That's actually, I think, Roman in nature, maybe Greek. I think whichever one it was, because, you know, they were so similar.
Right. It's actually Greek and Roman.
Temporally. Oh, okay, good.
So says you.
Yeah, okay. So, you know that the Romans emulated the Greeks.
Sure.
Okay, they had the same gods. They just named them, you know, differently, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess it was a Greek tradition that the Romans carried on. Basically, there was a belief that your ring finger was connected to your heart via a nerve.
Right.
So the wedding ring actually serves as kind of like a collar for the heart. For, you know, you're saying, you know, you possess my heart, and here's the proof.
Right.
You have it physically locked down.
So that's where that came from.
There's the ring.
That's interesting. I got one for you.
Please lay it on me.
The bridesmaids wearing similar dresses. They actually used to wear dresses similar to the bride as well, and they all kind of dressed alike. And apparently that was done to confuse evil spirits as to who the bride was.
No.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So that lavender, ladies out there who've been bridesmaids, that ugly, puffy lavender dress in your closet. Yeah, seafoam dress. That confused the heck out of evil spirits, so you did a good thing.
That's good. That's good. Although now they're used to stand out and contrast with the bride, right?
Right.
And make her look better.
Sure.
Although she's also now more conspicuous for spirit intrusion and all that.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite culture of yore, as far as wedding traditions go, was the Germans. I love the Germans. Basically, their wedding ceremonies were little more than like thinly veiled kidnappings.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best man, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the best man, he stands to the groom's left, I believe.
Yeah.
In between the groom and the crowd. And there may be some other, you know,
hangers
groomsmen.
On.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But the reason the best man stands there is because back in the medieval period, these Germanic tribes would commonly go from, you know, one village to another, pick out a bride and carry her off.
Right.
The best man was there, first of all, to help kidnap this woman.
Right.
And then the reason that the best man stands in between the groom and the crowd was to fend off any angry family members
right.
during the ceremony.
So the best man was sort of just like a glorified bodyguard.
Pretty much,
and,
yeah.
And a henchman.
Yeah. And I imagine he probably came in handy time and time again after,
right.
you know, kidnapping after kidnapping.
Yeah, I bet best men in Germany were typically robust, big guys.
I would think so, yeah. I think we both probably make good best men.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been a best man.
I have been.
Really?
I have been.
It's quite an honor.
I gave the speech of my life, too. It was a good one.
Tears flowing?
I think more laughter than anything.
Okay. Well, you can go that route, too.
Well, no, the sad thing is I was trying to get the tears flowing, and they were just laughing.
Right, and mocking you.
Pretty much, yeah. They weren't laughing with me, because
right.
I wasn't laughing.
Right.
So the Germans, that whole kidnapping scenario, they also came up with... Well, that's one of the reasons why grooms carry the bride across the threshold.
Right.
It's basically a throwback to this this kidnapping thing. It's really weird to think of now, but just so many weddings must have been really forced.
Right.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it is.
So.
Well, go ahead.
Well, you go ahead.
Okay.
No, you.
Well, I know in medieval Europe, speaking of the threshold, they would carry a bride over into her new home. Because they wanted to prevent her, I love this, from seeming too enthusiastic about losing her virginity.
Yeah, yeah. I think I say in the article that the groom provides an alibi by carrying her into the home
right.
against her will.
Right.
And again, I'm making air quotes here. You can't see them, but
sure.
Yeah,
otherwise, she would just skip or do somersaults over
exactly,
the threshold
like
because she just can't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also, that's kind of weird because. This same culture at the same period were also the very ones who witnessed consummation of the marriage.
Yeah, this is my favorite twisted old tradition.
It is super twisted.
Yeah.
Basically, some select members of the family or the wedding party would follow the bride and groom into the wedding chamber and watch
right.
as they engaged in coitus.
Right.
To make sure that the wedding was the marriage was consummated.
Right.
And then they would take the bride's garter and, you know, hold it aloft, basically like they did it
as
to
proof.
The rest of the wedding guests.
Sure.
Yeah,
much like Anthony Michael Hall in 16 Candles
exactly.
presenting the
yeah.
Molly Ringwald's undergarments.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
how
except
I picture
without
it.
The fraud. I mean, you got like eight pairs of eyes staring at. I don't know if I could do that.
I can tell you right now that I could not.
Yeah. So apparently not only stout of body, but stout of mind and not the least bit ashamed back
no,
then as
no.
well. But this is where we get the groom throwing the garter today
right.
in today's wedding ceremonies. This is a simulation of that, the consummation and the proof of the consummation.
Right. Which,
although these days
yeah,
it's more like wink, wink, nudge, nudge rather than do it.
Right. You know what's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So... one thing when I was researching this that I kept coming across time and time again is that brides apparently were commonly thought of as just these bad luck magnets.
Right.
Like most wedding customs were designed to prevent the bride just completely screwing up the family.
Right.
Somehow. The carrying of the threshold. There are a couple of different cultures that reason that the bride should be carried over the threshold because the threshold apparently on most houses at the time was thought of being this place where evil spirits dwelled.
Sure.
And apparently also they can easily get through the soles of your feet.
Yeah.
So I guess the groom was immune and he could carry the bride over the threshold. Her feet were in the air. She wasn't touching the threshold and hence the spirit intrusion wouldn't take place.
Right. It's interesting that marriage sort of it all seems very misogynistic when you think about it.
Yeah, it's definitely these are all patriarchal societies that we're discussing right now and yeah, the man is immune to spirit intrusion in these situations. The bride has to be kidnapped.
Big strong man.
Yeah, you know, given an alibi for her virginity,
right.
that kind of thing.
I think think if more women knew about some of these customs, they would absolutely say, you are not carrying me across the threshold.
That is true. I can see that. But it's such a... it's such a singular event in the life of a couple. You
right.
never do that again. You've got one chance to do it. It in my book, it's better safe than sorry.
Right. Did you do it?
Yes, actually, I did.
I did not.
You didn't?
No, I didn't even think about it, to be honest. And we, you know, we went back to my house, our house that we lived in, mm-hmm. and it wasn't like we got some fancy hotel or got whisked away on some honeymoon. And admittedly, we were slightly loaded by the end of our wedding.
Sure.
And it just, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, yeah. I think I thought of it at the last minute, and it was a very clumsy, you know, I have to do this kind of thing.
Right, you hit her head on the doorway.
Pretty much, yeah. Right. And it wasn't romantic either. It was more like I was just trying to cover our bases.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. There's a... plenty of other wedding traditions. We've covered on a few of them.
Lots and lots.
But it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And I mean to think that all these people are engaged in them and
right, after
having
all
these ceremonies
years.
And yeah, they're actually simulating pagan rituals.
Yeah.
So consider that, all you blushing brides and dashing grooms. Yeah, thanks for that, Chuck. Chuck just gave me a nod of approval.
I did.
And coming up, Chuck's going to tell us what article reminds him of the funniest joke he knows. But first...
this podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting, the web-based tool that lets you hold instant online meetings from your office, conference room, or home office with people anywhere in the world, so you can do more and travel less, which means you can save money and make more money. Try GoToMeeting free. Visit GoToMeeting.com/stuff.
And Chuck, do you want to tell everybody what's this article that reminds you of the funniest joke you know?
Well, it's maybe not the funniest joke I know, but I thought it was fitting considering our subject matter today.
Yep.
Why are divorces so expensive?
Why?
Because they're worth it.
Nice.
I know, it's a terrible joke, and I'm so happily married, but I don't know, it's a really funny joke, I think. And the article actually is, of course, how divorce works.
Yeah, there you go. So you can read that, you can read all sorts of stuff, all sorts of great stuff, things that Chuck and I wrote, things that our colleagues wrote, things that people we don't even know wrote, but it's all good, on howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.